Okay. Welcome to this marathon meeting, first of the day. My name is Susan. I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi, everybody. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference that I will not want to be done. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign the release form up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would somebody please come up and read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous? Anybody want to do that? I haven't. Come on up.
My name is Leslie. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Okay. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. A short reading, if applicable, then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. And the topic for this meeting is Act as if a power greater than myself exists. And this is the reading from Voices of Recovery, January 18th. At this point, we learned we could act as if. This didn't mean we were to be dishonestly pious or pretend we believed in God when we didn't. It meant we were free to set aside theological arguments and examine the idea of spiritual power in the light of our own desperate need for help with our lives. And that was from the OA 12 and 12, page 14. I came to OA through AA, where I had been struggling, miserable, and unable to work the program. I simply didn't believe anything could restore me to sanity from my eating and self-harming behavior. Once I had admitted that I was powerless over food, the above quote helped me to take step 2 and move on. Yes, I was absolutely desperate. I could stop being logical, forget my prejudices about the word God, and act as if a power greater than myself was working in my life. Acting as if enabled me to start trusting that I would be okay, that I could get through the days without eating compulsively or hurting myself. I didn't know what I could trust in precisely, but it didn't matter. I have faith that it works. And I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So, again, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. And this topic is really so pertinent for me. I'm so glad to be talking on it today. So I'll just give you a brief background so I can really talk on the topic some more. I started being obsessed with food when I was 4, and it just pretty much stayed with me my whole life. There was nothing that I could do to change it. I was called names starting when I was 6 for my size, and then besides being obsessed with food, I started really hating myself and hating my body. At 6 years old, and I learned to stand behind things so that people wouldn't be reminded of how big I was and call me names. I was put on my first diet when I was 10, and I lost 5 pounds in 5 days, probably because I was 10. I had recess every day and was active. But like I said, it only lasted 5 days. That's what I could do. So I've had bouts with bulimia, but when I came in here almost 28 years ago, I was a size 18, and I got abstinent on October 26, 1986. So last October, I celebrated 27 years of abstinence. So I came in, just like this reading said, utterly defeated. I just don't know anybody who kind of skips in here. Nobody. I have not heard anybody say, "Gosh, I ate a cake last night, so I thought I'd come here today." Nothing like that has ever happened to me. People don't do that. We all kind of try it. And for me, I kept trying to control it myself. I knew I was smart. I knew I had willpower somewhere. I knew it. And in my mind, I would think, well, I'm just not going to use my willpower today. I'll use it tomorrow. That's how I really got through this I'll start tomorrow thing. And me starting tomorrow lasted, I think, from that moment that I was put on, that I went off that diet when I was 10, until I came here 26 years later. So 26 years of I'll start tomorrow. That was my life. So I came in. I had come to Overeaters Anonymous a couple of years before because I had a friend, and he lost 100 pounds, and he never gained it back. And I thought, well, that was great. We had gone out to eat several times. He ate like a normal person, meaning he didn't eat diet food. He actually ate a roll in butter in front of me, which I never dared to do, eat anything. You know, I was one of those people who ate like a bird in front of other people, wondering how I got up to my weight to size 18. And I heard the word God. I knew the word God was coming because I knew what the Serenity Prayer was. And I hated it. I had a strong aversion to believing in God. I came from a religious family. My grandmother was quite Orthodox, and she lived with us. And we had a tragedy in our family when I was 15, and we had my cousin, who was my best friend, died. So when a child dies, that's really, it's very different than certainly even when my own parents died. And I remember that around our religion's New Year. And so we had gone to the funeral, and then she had to go home to prepare for the New Year. And so she wasn't going to be with all the mourners and everything. And I really, really, I resented her for it. How could she just go on with life when my cousin had died? And I remember asking her about God and why did we do certain customs that we had. And she said, why? Because. That was her answer. Because, period. And it just didn't sit well with me. I wanted answers. I demanded answers. And so when I got here, I was one of those people who, in the big book, in Chapter 5, How It Works, if you're new, I apologize for skipping right to Chapter 5 in the big book, but it says to us that the steps are a suggested program of recovery. So I read that as, and I found out later, many people read it like this, but I read that as, these steps are a suggestion. So I kind of read it as, take what you want, leave the rest. So any step that had the word God in it, or that capital H, he or him, I decided I wasn't going to use that step. So I really was left with two steps. I had the first step. I was powerless over food, and my life had become unmanageable. And step 12, to actually carry the message. So basically, I knew I was powerless. That was kind of easy. And then in step 12, I was happy to tell anybody about that I was powerless over food. And that was it. Needless to say, it didn't really get me far in the program, and my food did not change. I heard people talking about abstinence. I heard different things. I heard three meals a day, nothing in between. I heard no sugar. I heard no white flour. And I would try these different things, and it would last. You know, I actually even got a couple of 30-day chips, you know. It would last, and most times it didn't. But I went to meetings every day. The one thing that I had working for me was I knew I had no place else to go. There was just not one more diet that I could pretend to be on until 10 o'clock in the morning. And what I noticed is that people who had what I wanted, because that's what we're told to do, see who has what you want. So people who had what I wanted, number one, were thin. That was really all I wanted when I came in here. I didn't really understand that, and my life had become unmanageable at the end of step one. I just knew I was powerless and I wanted to lose weight. And all the people that had what I wanted also had another thing in common, which was that they all believed in a power greater than themselves. And they all gave credit to that power for their ability to be abstinent. And, boy, I fought it and fought it. I really tried to work this program on my own. I really did. I did have a sponsor, but I really was not used to sharing things about myself. I was not used to letting people see who I was. So, see, I wanted to cut right to the story. So this is what I did. I kind of had to surrender the fact that I was going to need some sort of higher power. And so what I did is exactly what the title of this meeting is. I thought, okay, I will pretend I believe in God. I will act as if I believe in a higher power. And I would lie in bed at night and I would kind of pray to the ceiling, didn't know what else to do. I would do that. I read meditation books in the morning. You know, I did whatever my sponsor said for me to do. And I really kind of threw myself into the literature. And actually, on Sundays, I think all I did was I would go to Serenity Sunday and then read all afternoon. I read the big book. I read the 12 and 12, and which really was really so foreign to me. And then one Sunday afternoon, I was, I'll never forget it, I was putting the big book down, and I heard this voice that said, "You are not alone, and you never have been." And that was really stunning for me. Just really, I just can't even tell you how I felt in that moment like I was being hugged. And I thought, oh, that's mine. That's my higher power. There it is. That voice is mine. And the next morning I went to a meeting, and I was embarrassed to share about it. It's so funny. I was so embarrassed about all these things that people come here for and that people do. And yet I was embarrassed about sharing it. I felt very self-conscious about it. But I shared about it for a moment. And then what I did was I did not get stuck abstinent. That's not the end of the story. What I did was then start to have this relationship with a higher power. It was just like meeting somebody new for the first time, getting to know somebody, whatever. And I did what I heard people did here. So when I woke up in the morning, as I said, I have my meditation books right next to my head, you know, on my night table, so I would remember that I was in a program, that it was a spiritual program, that I had a higher power. I would read that. I would read the 12 and 12. I'd read the big book. I'd write a letter. All these things to develop that God muscle, because I had none. And when things went well, I practiced saying thank you to my higher power. When I was stuck with something, I practiced pausing and saying, what do I do? And kind of waiting. If I didn't have an answer, I didn't do anything. You know, I learned that here too. And I kept doing, as I said, what my sponsor said. I met her on a weekly basis. And when I got to the third step, two things happened to me. Two things significant happened to me. One, I was reading the newspaper, outside issue. I was reading Peanuts, the comic. And Lucy was on a swing. And Charlie Brown is reading a book. And Charlie Brown says to Lucy, you know, it says here that it takes the Earth 365 days to revolve around the sun. And Lucy said, really? And he said, yep. She says, are you sure about that? Says it right here. And the last frame, Lucy says, well, that's funny because I thought the world revolved around me. And I stopped for a minute. My first thought was, Lucy too? And I pictured this globe spinning on my head, you know, like those tin turquoise things that we had in elementary school. And I just kind of gave it to my higher power. And a few days later, this all happened around the same time, I was walking with this guy that I knew from work. He was in AA, and we were talking about the program. So this was like 5 months into me coming. And he said, Susan, how long have you been going to OA now? And I said, about 5 months. And he said, well, how come you're still fat? And I had to think about it. How come I was still fat? He said, and I know your sponsor, and she's fat. And I said, well, I think maybe she's a better coach than she is, you know, like, thank you, like athletes, you know. But she's a better coach than she is actually a member. What was I thinking? I was new. And it struck me, that comment just struck me into total 100% honesty. I'd had an abstinence. I had 3 meals a day. I heard that meals had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I had to admit that the week before, I had half a birthday cake for breakfast, but it had a beginning, a middle, and an end of my breakfast. So I let that be. And I got abstinent. And I remember walking home from that walk, realizing that it was now or never, basically. There were no more tomorrows, and it was a Sunday. It was so funny. I didn't wait till Monday morning. I didn't have one big last blowout. I had nothing. Something had happened that I was able to get totally honest with myself, with another human being, with my higher power, and I was able to be abstinent. And that was my birthday, my OA birthday, and one day at a time since then. What my job is in the program is to continue working on my relationship with my higher power. I don't have to act as if today. I am thoroughly sure there's a higher power. The difference today between me now and being that 16-year-old girl was I don't have to know all the answers. I've given up having to know everything in this world. I don't know why some things happen. I have theories on why things happen. I'm not one of those people who believes that God does bad things. I don't think that God let the Holocaust happen, you know, and whatever. I certainly have theories. I've certainly done a lot of reading outside about spirituality. And today all I need to know is that I am abstinent by the grace of my higher power, and that I need my higher power if I want to continue to be abstinent. And there's nothing as great as being abstinent and the freedom that it has given me to not have to be in the food and be obsessed with it 24 hours a day. So I look forward to what everybody else has to say about this. Thanks a lot. The meeting is now open for three-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. Excuse me. This session will end at 9:55, and I will close at 9:50. Thank you. Who wants to start?
Hi,
you need to come up here.
Oh.
And I'll repeat this again. If you say your name, you don't have to, but if you do, you need to sign this waiver because this is being recorded right now.
Oh, okay.
So, your choice.
Okay. I'm Louise, compulsive eater.
Hi.
And I wanted to jump up and down because you were kind of telling my story. Like, I'm in a place where I'm fighting this. I'm an atheist, and I mean, my parents were atheists. We used to scoff at God, and you know, my friends scoffed at people who believed in God, and it's just, I can't change that. I'll never believe in a creator God. I mean, that's the honesty. And when I sit in program and I go to meetings and, you know, my ex-sponsor, which I don't have a sponsor now because I want to do this myself. Thank you. And I'm just, but I'm suffering from my overeating stuff. And I'm suffering from tomorrow, this magic word. I'll do it tomorrow. It'll be better tomorrow. And it seems like right now I'm doing it on my own. It's not working. It's not working. I lost the sponsor because I honestly said, I just don't want to do this. And she says, well, I can't help you if you don't want to do this. So, okay, naturally she would let me go. And so I thought, okay, good. But it's not working. So I like what you said. And I'm thinking, okay, that's what I'll try. Act as if. So that's why I came here, because I need help, and I'm thinking of getting a new sponsor, but I don't know, I just feel like I'm crazy, like I just don't know, I just want to, it's like self-will run riot, I think, in my case. And so I loved hearing what you said, because it makes me comforted that you put in the effort to act as if. And then it sounds like it just happened for you. It just happened for you. I can't make this higher power come to me. But it seems like it was allowed to happen because you were willing to pretend. And I can never pretend there's a creator God, but I can pretend that I can pretend that I'm open to having something like this happen to me, because I mean, the universe is vast and amazing and incredible and unknowable. I mean, I believe in that this is an amazing place, but I still hold on to that self-will too tightly, I think. And so I need help. I need a sponsor, I think. And then somebody said, well, you know, you don't have to wait for a sponsor. If you know, now it's like I'm going over backwards. Oh, I'm going to eat this because I'm waiting for a sponsor. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and thank you again.
Hi, I'm Jessica, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Susan. I had a whole lifetime of acting as if there was a God in my life. And I searched and searched, and I tried to find a connection with a higher power in different churches, and I never could do it. I used to be a church hopper. I went to all the different religions just trying to find a God that I could connect with, and I actually forced my mother to join a church with me, and I had to make amends for this, but I said, they give you a little thing to say, and it says something about, you know, God and all this, and I swore that I believed in their God, and I was lying, because I didn't believe it. I wanted to be a member of the church, and that was my goal. And that was when I was like 16 years old. And I never could connect with the church of a temple or, the God of a temple or a church or a building or a structural religious thing. And I always wanted to be spiritual. And I had pockets of my life when I actually was spiritual and philosophical and all those great, wonderful, lofty things. And it wasn't until I came to Overeaters Anonymous 6.5 years ago, a little more than that by now, almost 7, and I still didn't have a higher power, but I knew that I could not do this by myself. I had gained so much weight. I was busting out of my size 16s and weighing in at 185, and now I'm in the size 6 and maintaining a 60-pound weight loss, so something working. And I came here and I wasn't a believer. I didn't have a higher power. I didn't really want to have anything to do with those steps that said God in there. And any prayer that started with God, which is actually every single one, I wouldn't say. I would say the prayer, I just wouldn't say the word God for the first 6 or 8 months that I was in this program. And then one day I just blurted it out, God. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? It just happened. And suddenly I was open, and I don't know how, but I think probably because I was abstinent for 9 months, and the sugar cloud kind of faded away, and I was actually able to be open-minded and willing. I was honest, but I wasn't open-minded, and I wasn't willing. I was like, I'm honest, but I'm not believing in your God. And it wasn't their God anymore. It wasn't the God of a temple. It was my God, the God of my understanding. And that just made the big difference for me, because I could stop looking, because I know now that that God resides deep within me, and it's always been there. All I had to do was just open myself up to be able to receive that message. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ellie, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Ellie.
Thank you, Susan. Act as if a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. But it's interesting because I did not believe in God. The God of my understanding at 8 years old took my grandmother from me. And even though I prayed every day to please let her live, please let her live, I'll be a good girl, please let her live. And she died. And that to me was, okay, there's no God. So there was no God in my house. There was no religion in my house. And later on in my life, I was able to just have experiences that told me that there was something, but I couldn't tell you what it was. I came to OA on November, I entered OA on November 26, 2006. I came to the outside of the meeting room on November 19th of 2006. I went to sit on a park bench. People got up, park bench next to me. I got up, sat down, and there was a 12-stepper. Now, to me, that was a God shot, as I later learned to call it. Something led me to that park, because otherwise I was 2 blocks away eating and wearing out the rug between the living room and the kitchen. And so I just felt that was my first feeling that something was there. My second was when I went to the meeting the following week. And by the grace of my higher power, I started my abstinence and have been maintaining it ever since. I heard have three meals a day and nothing in between. Well, I'd already had breakfast. I went home, I had lunch, and then I had dinner. And then I went to sleep. I mean, right after dinner, I went to sleep. And I woke up, and the following morning, I was absent. Now, this was after 59 years of doing it my way and not having it work. Is that it? Well, then you won't hear the rest of this story, but ask me later. Thanks. Bye.
Good morning. I'm Tony, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your share. I am not Jewish, but I went to Catholic school for 8 years, and I did not like their idea of God. I didn't like this fire and brimstone and guilt and shame God. And today I'm in this program that tells me I can have a God of my own understanding, and it's awesome. Today I have a partnership with my higher power that I've learned in my 50s to do the footwork and leave the results up to God, which is very different, because I was Lucy trying to, I thought I had the world revolved around me, and I had to be the axis that it spun around. And today, I know that I just do what I'm told and leave the results, and that's huge. That's so counterintuitive to how I was raised and to everything I believed in. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this program, and I'm in my 50s. I've been abstinent over 3 years, and through menopause, I've released about 115, 120 pounds, which is a miracle that I could not do, you know, on my own. And willpower, what power, you know? So it's awesome that I can, at this age, change my way of thinking, and it's only because the next chapter after How It Works is Into Action. And today I'm a woman of action. It doesn't say into thinking, into wanting, into willingness. It says into action. So I take the action today, and I do what I'm told. And if I screw up, I clean up. And that's it. And I don't have to be perfect. And I'm no longer Mussolini screaming off the balcony. I'm a softer, calmer, nicer me. And I tell my 19-year-old daughter every day, man, are you lucky, kid? Girl. Because all my relationships are better today. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm in recovery for anorexia.
Hi.
Thank you so much for your share, and thanks to everybody who's spoken so far. So I really appreciate this topic, and you know, I like most of us came in not just thinking that I'd been abandoned by any type of God or any type of you know, power out there in the universe that could care about me. And what I learned as a result of working the steps is that I actually abandoned God, and I it's so funny because I almost rejected getting any type of help for my eating disorder because I was required to check out OA, and I was like, I don't want anything to do with God, and I'm so grateful that I said yes anyway, because my life today, 7.5 years after that, is beyond my wildest dreams and looks nothing like what I thought it would. And I'm so grateful for that. Like, my sponsor lovingly tells me that my pea-sized brain has no idea what God has in store for me. And because I'm just not on that realm. She's like, you're looking at your watch and God looks at the calendar. Like, it's just a different plane of existence. And so what I've found in my recovery is that as my recovery has grown, my God has had to grow significantly by leaps and bounds, because life gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what I was trying to starve myself into being okay with when I was in my eating disorder as life got bigger. So what I do as part of my third step and seventh step every, or excuse me, third step and 11th step every single day is in the mornings I meditate and I do readings and I do writing, and then I get on my knees and I pray. And I I pray for lack for detachment, and I pray for I pray to care more about God's will for me than insert in the blank. My body shape or size, how things are going at work, my being a sponsor, like detaching myself from whether or not my sponsees are doing well in program. And it's freeing. It's freeing to pray to care more about God's will for me than any attachment that I might have to anything in my life, because it reminds me that I don't know what's best. And I will never know what's best for me. Like, that's up to God. I just get to put one foot in front of the other, keep working my steps, keep showing up, keep eating my meals, and live a life of a woman in recovery, of a lady in recovery that I can be proud of, and leave the rest up to God, turn over the results. And when I'm not in charge, when I remind myself that I'm not in charge, things go so much better. And so that tells me that my God is, you know, it can be big enough to take care of any problems that I think that I have. And, despite the fact that I might not believe it on occasion, that's when I get to act as if. So thanks so much for being here, y'all. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Elisa, a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Elisa.
I am so sorry I'm late, and I did not get to hear your share, but I know I'm supposed to be in this room because everything that's been said so far that I heard is exactly addressing what I'm currently delving into with my relationship with God, and specifically trusting that His will for me is better than what I want for myself. Through doing an eighth step, God helped me to see some really bad defects. One of the first questions in the workbook was, do you have any personality traits that have caused harm to yourself or others? And immediately I came up with 25. And it's not me being hard on myself. It's just I've been in program 4 years, and I'm not beating myself up over it. I'm surrendering them to God and moving forward. But one in particular, I really was able to see how my searching for all this validation in not getting it, you know, it's, you do need validation, and you do need acceptance, and you do need love as a child. That is a need. And when you don't have it, that's when you go to food. That's when you go to all these counterfeits of validation, all these counterfeits of love, shopping, food, gaining a promotion at work, just the list of men, you know, the list can go on and on. And right now, God has me at a place where I'm looking and I'm searching and I'm asking Him, God, what is true love? How can I trust? There's so many goals I have. How can I trust that to let them go and detach and to say, Your will, not mine, be done, and be in acceptance of having my goals not accomplished? And because I tie so much of my validation into accomplishing those goals, I really have to reevaluate, okay, you know, where am I getting my validation? Am I getting validation from being God's child? Am I gaining validation from serving others and being there for others? Am I gaining validation from, you know, other sources that are not true? And, you know, the counterfeit sources, I was journaling to my sponsor, the counterfeit sources sometimes are a little bit more palpable and tangible. Like, you know, to go shopping, you get that instant gratification. But to believe, you know, ethereally in God's unconditional love for me and receiving that, it's a little more philosophical and out there. And it's harder. It's not as tangible. You know, hey, I can get that man to buy me a drink. That's tangible. Just resting that, you know, God's will is best for me, that's a little tougher. So it's something I'm wrestling with, and I know I'm in a really, fantastic journey through 2014 to God unraveling this, because I know and I'm confident He will prove that His true love means much more than these counterfeit. Thank you.
I'm Greg, compulsive eater.
Hi, Greg.
Susan, you said something that I can really relate to. You said when you went to meetings,
you looked around the people that were in recovery in the rooms, and they had something in common. What you said is what they have in common is they believed in a power greater than themselves, which could restore them to sanity. In other words, they had a higher power in their life. The same thing happened to me. I was in OA for 2.5 years, the summer of 2006 to the till December of 2008. And when I have a problem with a certain step about spirituality or about God, I know I have to go backwards first because the steps are built, in my opinion, on a foundation moving forward. So for the first 2.5 years in OA, I really didn't even believe step one, that I was powerless over food and my life had become unmanageable. I came to OA because I wanted to eat less dessert and lose weight. That was my goal. Unfortunately, 2.5 years later, none of those happened. None of those happens at all. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to meetings and start to listen this time. And I found, too, like you, that the people that had the recovery had made it through all 12 steps and had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. So until I fully believed in myself in step one, that I was powerless over food, and I could turn that around, actually, which means food had power over me, because it means the same thing. If I'm powerless over food, then food had power over me. Until I could really believe that for myself, and I knew it because I'd go to an OA meeting. If it was 11 a.m., I'd go out to lunch afterwards and have a huge calorie lunch. Or if it was an evening meeting, I'd go home and have a huge amount of dessert. So I knew food had power over me, and my life had become unmanageable. At that point, I was willing to listen to the other people around the room and say, oh, that person over there has been abstinent for decades and has lost all this weight and seems at peace. And that person over there also, and that person over there. That's when I was open to the idea that, wait a minute, there are 12 steps. If I'm supposed to have this spiritual awakening, which the other people had, I probably need to follow the instructions to get there. So I asked a guy who was abstinent for in AA and OA for like 2 decades or something. And he said, don't think so much, just follow the instructions. And that's what I did December of 2008. And since then I'm maintaining a 50-pound weight loss. Not because I fight it and I fight the food and I'm striving for that goal. It's because I stick to my food plan with my higher power's help. And my food plan, this is different than a lot of other people I hear. My food plan is that I eat anything that I want to eat. Now, isn't that a wonderful goal to have? If someone told me in OA that you can come in here and eat whatever you want to eat, I think we'd be filling up L.A. Coliseum or Staples Center. But I do, because I only want to eat healthy, abstinent food. Why would I want to eat something I don't want to eat? Because God is giving me that strength to do that. So I appreciate your share, and I too have found that the people that have what I want actually follow the instructions in the big book and believe in the higher power. So hey, I might as well.
Hi, I'm Sam, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sam.
And I've been struggling with the concept of God ever since I've been in this program, and it's gradually evolving for me that I'm finding Him. It's been a very slow process, though. I'm Jewish. I started out learning to be bar mitzvah and all that. The problem with that is, at that time, you had to learn something by rote. You didn't understand what it was all about, and you had to act as if. So, acting as if is a real struggle for me. But anyway, the Hebrew school, we had an ear puller for an instructor, and it didn't go very well. So I really can't believe in somebody sitting on a throne waiting to put down edicts of some kind. That just doesn't work for me. I like the Bible because it shows that God is a spiritual. It shows that God as a spirit has evolved from a vengeful person to a loving person, and I really respect that. And so later on, I became a scientist, and that really added to my confusion because the only God you can really believe in is the universe itself, because it's so grand and it's so mysterious that you're humbled by it. And you know, either on a microscopic level or a macroscopic level, it doesn't matter. It's just really mysterious and almost unexplainable. And every time you try to explain it, it's like going through one of these Matryoshka dolls Russian Matryoshka dolls. There's always another doll inside or outside. It's an infinite Matryoshka doll. That's what the universe is like. And so now I really found my God, but the problem, which is the universe, but the problem is it's so vast, I'm really having a hard time that the universe really gives a damn about me. So that's where I'm at right now. And I hope the universe does, but right now I'm not sure it does. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe, the compulsive over and under eater.
Hi,
and thank you very much for your share. There's so much I could relate to. I loved when you were talking about how we all come in here, and I came in and out. I was not happy to be in OA. Usually when I came in, I have broken up with someone, and I was coming back to OA, and I wanted to lose enough weight, get a boyfriend, and get out. I didn't want your steps. I didn't want your guides. I didn't want any of that stuff. And, I took 8 years to take step one and get serious about program, get a sponsor that could call me on my shit, that would give me directions, that had me work the steps. And when he traveled a lot, and he said, I have to talk to other people and also get a high, some semblance of a higher power. And when I first came in, it was just the rooms. And, I white knuckled it a lot with my food. And I've been 130 pounds heavier than this. I suffer from the other side. I've been 30, 40 pounds less than this also. And when we started working step two together, he had me talk to different people. And I thought I came in without, I didn't believe in a higher power. I said I didn't have a higher power or a God. And he had me talk to different people whose recovery that I respected. And, it's usually people who were at a natural weight, had lost a significant amount of weight. There were people that were in relationships, long-term relationships, or people that were happy dating and having sex, because, I was interested in doing that also. And at 130 pounds overweight, it sort of limited some of that stuff in the gay community. And those people had a higher power, some semblance. And one woman who was in AA and OA explained to me when I said I didn't have a higher power, she said, you have had higher powers that are men, celebrities, especially at the time when like underwear ads for men were coming out, got celebrities with six packs. They were higher powers. Food was my higher power, she explained. Money was my higher power. So I had all different higher powers that I was giving my will over to. So why not try something that might work to help, and it could be something small. So I started with something that loved me unconditionally, because the church I came from said as a gay man, I wasn't accepted, and cared about the disease, brought me here like everybody to recover, because we were all brought here to recover. And now I believe that then I had to act as if, and signs was stronger than the disease, and I acted as if, because I didn't believe it first with the food, and my food started getting easier, and then this obsession lifted, then with work, and then I started to trust my higher power with relationships and dating and things like that. And now I've got post-its like all over, because I started my own consulting company 2 years ago, that I could bring my higher power into that, not stress and stuff like that. And the food's lifted, but also, you know, I'm getting more balanced with my work program, exercise, all of that, and not having to live a stressful life too. So thank you again. Thanks for letting me share.
It is now time to close the session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at the session and all of you for attending. And just remember, if you spoke and said your name, please come up and sign that waiver. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with, well, let's close with the third step prayer. Okay?
Keep coming back. It works if you work it and you're worth it.